Hi, I'm Antonia, and I'm a midwife.
Hi, I'm Micah, and I'm a midwife.
Hi, I'm Jane, I'm a midwife.
Hi, I'm Savannah, a student midwife.
Hi, I'm Lucy, and I'm a midwifery support worker.
Hello, my name's Gulbano, and I'm a midwife.
Hi, I'm Abby, and I'm a midwife.
But it was a meeting that trade unions weren't invited to, and we felt that wasn't right at all because we are an essential part of that committee. So along with Leslie Ward, we worked together to speak to the trust, speak to the relevant people, even right up to board level, to the directors, to work to get that meeting reinstated.
That was Keely Barrett, a maternity support worker, an RCM board member, but speaking there in her role as a health and safety rep for her local RCM branch. I'm Gemma Murphy. You're very welcome to this month's episode. We'll hear more from Keely later in the episode to hear about the important role reps play in the workplace, crucial influencing and supporting RCM members at local level, where it really does matter. This episode is all about the RCM as a political influencer nationally and more about the lobbying work that happens behind the scenes at the RCM. So in this episode, I'll meet some of the people who make that work happen for and on behalf of our members. And I'll also talk to RCM's Head of Health and Social Policy, Sean O'Sullivan.
Delighted to be joined by Stuart Bonner, your RCM's Public Affairs Advisor. How are you doing, Stuart?
I'm good today. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. It's the first time you've come on the podcast, so thank you for taking the time. For people who don't know about the work that you do, because a lot of it's behind the scenes, isn't it, as a Public Affairs Advisor for the RCM, can you tell me what your role entails day to day?
Yeah, I suppose it can be summed up as sort of helping the RCM in its relations with politicians and the political parties. And that's not just at Westminster, that will be in Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland as well. So one of the things we help with is, for example, setting up regular meetings with politicians. So in recent weeks and months, that's been involved a lot of meetings about pay and the pay deal, for example, particularly with Conservative backbenchers. In Northern Ireland, to use another example, we're pushing at the moment for a new maternity strategy for Northern Ireland. So we've been meeting lots of members of the Northern Ireland Assembly, but also Northern Ireland MPs. I write the manifestos, for example, that we put forward at election time, again, not just at Westminster, but for the Scottish Parliament, the Senedd in Wales and the Northern Ireland Assembly. And I created and write the State of Maternity Services reports as well. So that's a kind of quick flavour of the sort of thing I'm responsible for.
And just picking up on what you said about them pushing for a maternity strategy in Northern Ireland, like that is so important because they currently don't have a strategy, or the one that they have has expired, right?
Yeah, that's right. They did have a strategy. It ran out in 2018. They were in the process of restarting setting out a new maternity strategy when the pandemic hit. And so obviously that's understandable. But as things stabilise, as the system has become able to respond to the demands of COVID and responding to COVID, we're saying that now's the time for the Health Department in Northern Ireland to start the job of writing out and developing a new maternity strategy to take us into the next few years.
And that's really needed, and we'll welcome that when it comes. Stuart, you recently wrote a blog on the latest NHS workforce figures for England, and those figures revealed that midwives working in England had fallen by almost 300 in just 2 months.
That's right. As you say, this is NHS midwives in England, and the number has dropped by almost 300 full-time equivalent midwives in just 2 months. And we have statistics from the NHS that go back to about 2009 on midwife numbers. And that's the fastest fall for this period in all of that time. So at least since 2009, but most probably in the few years before that. And this echoes what we've been hearing from members, that they're under a lot of pressure right now. The system is really straining. Now, we have a kind of theory as to why this might be the case. There tends to be a pattern that happens over the year, which is that as the students come out in autumn, the number of midwives in the NHS in England shoots up. And then for the rest of the year, it kind of drifts down as people leave the profession. And then when autumn comes around again, the number jumps up. Now, we didn't really see that last year. The number didn't really drift down during the year. And we think that's because maybe midwives who at the start of last year were thinking about retiring, were thinking about taking new jobs, maybe stuck with the NHS, you know, in a time of crisis, you know, to step up and to help out the country, to help out their colleagues, to help out the NHS. But that now we're sort of emerging from that period. What's happening is perhaps those midwives are now deciding to actually go ahead and leave the NHS. And so that's leading to a sort of a particularly sharp drop in the number of midwives. And that may be exacerbated, we think, for example, by the botched handling of the NHS pay deal by the UK government. And the government itself has already said, it confirmed in April, that we're 2,000 midwives short for the NHS in England already. And that's before you take these drops into account. So the system is really under huge strain at the moment. We're hearing that from members, and it's coming through in statistics as well. And of course, looking to the future, we've got lots of unknowns. We don't know, for example, what the impact is going to be on birth numbers of the pandemic. It looks like many people delayed having a baby during the pandemic, and they may have put that off into the future. So we may see a spike in birth numbers in the years ahead. So there needs to be a lot of effort from government, I think, to keep increasing the number of midwives and MSWs. And it needs a continued effort from us as well, but pressure on politicians to make sure that happens.
Absolutely. You mentioned there 2,000 midwives short. Now, we talk a lot about the shortage of midwives in England, and we use that a lot, don't we, in our lobbying and influencing work at the RCM. Yeah. How is that number calculated?
Every year, the Office for National Statistics, which is an independent stats body for the country, produces a birth number for the, you know, how many births took place in England over the last year.
Yeah.
When we have that figure, which is, you know, independently sort of assessed and checked and everything, we have a calculation that takes that number and works out how many midwives, roughly speaking, you would need to cope with that number of births. And then we compare that with the number who are actually in post. Now, that calculation, it isn't just the number of births, it'll make an assessment for how many will be born in different types of unit, for example. It makes an allowance for sort of managerial and specialist midwifery posts, and also takes into account things like complexity. That does mean that over time, our formula changes as complexity changes, for example, and there is growing complexity out there, which means that over time we need more midwives. So it's a calculation we use that can assess the shortage. And we would agree with the government that at the moment we're about 2,000 midwives short.
Yeah, it's a really challenging time for maternity services right across the UK, not only in England. So thanks for everything that you do, Stuart. This has been a really insightful conversation, and I hope to have you on the podcast again.
Look forward to it.
Pleased this morning to be joined by Keely Barrett, of course, first and foremost an MSW at East Lancashire Hospitals, also an RCM board member, in addition to being an MSW advocate, a health and safety person, and a steward. Keely, how are you? How do you manage, first of all, to do all these roles so brilliantly?
Thanks, Gemma. Yeah, it's certainly been a challenge of recent weeks, but, you know, I've got a great team around me, a great branch committee that support me in what I do, and great line managers, really. That's the key, because obviously these roles can take a considerable amount of time. So it's really important that you can have those open conversations with managers about what time commitment's required, really, but the benefits to them as well.
Yeah, because activists are so influential to the RCM and for all our members, particularly at local level, because without our activists having those great relationships within their trusts and services, we're really at a loss, aren't we, as an organisation?
Yeah, we certainly are. I mean, you know, local reps within the workplace are often key to being able to raise issues, particularly health and safety issues. For health and safety reps attending committees is key, really. You can raise member issues. Sometimes you can be doing the inspections and actually uncover issues yourself. And, so it's really important to have those people on that local level.
Because health and safety is fundamental to everything that our members do. And if those parameters aren't in place, you know, it doesn't make for a safe workplace. And during COVID, you achieved something pretty big in terms of influencing at local level. You had the Health and Safety Committee reinstated at your trust. Is that right, Keely?
We did, yeah, along with the help from Leslie Wood, who was regional officer at the time for my area. So during COVID, the Trust had made the decision, obviously, to stand down all meetings for a time. And as a staff side and as a health and safety rep myself, we accepted that initially because COVID was very new. We were dealing with this pandemic that we knew nothing about, this condition. So we accepted that for a time, but as time went on, we kind of incorporated the health and safety meeting into some of the meeting that they were having. But it was a meeting that trade unions weren't invited to, and we felt that wasn't right at all because we are an essential part of that committee. So along with Leslie Wood, we worked together to speak to the Trust, speak to the relevant people, even right up to board level, to the directors, to work to get that meeting reinstated.
I mean, that's just fantastic too, because we know that maternity services struggle to get the attention of their boards and those at senior level, you know, within Trust, and that's a big issue and it affects lots of practice. But this was a real win at local level and a real win for our members at East Lancashire.
Absolutely. Like I say, I've always been passionate about health and safety, and I do think it's key to everything we do. It's key to members' health and well-being. If we are not healthy, we can't care for the women properly. I just feel it's absolutely vital that staff side and trade union reps have a say at, you know, in every aspect of health and safety, from the health and safety committee to what's happening locally in departments to risk assessing. It's just key to everything, really.
Absolutely. Now we're going to move on to talk about you as an RCM board member, because for over a decade now, the RCM has had maternity support workers within their membership, and they're an integral part of what the RCM does and what the RCM is. But you were the very first MSW RCM board member, which is a huge accomplishment.
Yeah, it is. It was quite a surreal moment back in 2019 when those election results were announced. I was encouraged to apply initially by one of the regional officers who thought I might be a good candidate. And I have to say, I was a little bit nervous about putting myself forward because I knew potentially I would be the first one if I was to be elected. So, yeah, I was a little bit unsure whether the membership perhaps would even want to vote for myself. But I decided, you know, somebody has to be the first and I'd give it a go. And here I am.
And you've never looked back. You know, you are the voice of our MSWs at RCM board level. And how important is that to have an MSW on the RCM's board, which is mainly made up of course, midwives?
I think it definitely is important. You know, we're an integral part of the membership now, MSWs. As you said, we've been a part of the RCM now for over a decade. So I think any board should be representative of its membership. So I think it's absolutely key that a maternity support worker's put themselves forward for board elections. And I just hope that, you know, as my time on the board comes to an end, that other MSWs do have, you know, the confidence to believe in themselves and put themselves forward, so that as I step away from my term of office, I'd like to think that another one might be elected to sit there.
Well, you're certainly a trailblazer, and I think all the work that you've done, you're so positive about your experience on the board. Why wouldn't another MSW put themselves forward for election? In terms of your day-to-day work within the Trust, how's that going at the moment? I have to ask you, with all the pressures that we're hearing about on maternity service, how are you doing and how's your team?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think myself and the team that I work with, we're experiencing pressures just like everybody else is. We know that the pressures are being felt nationally as well. You know, no, I don't think any one particular trust is feeling it more than another. We're all experiencing it. It's important that, you know, people remind themselves that, first of all, they need to be kind to themselves. You know, we need to recognise if we need some support with something. I think we need to be mindful that we're kind to each other because we are all going through this and it is very difficult for everybody. So that's the kind of the culture we're trying to promote really at East Lancs, you know, that we're looking out for each other and recognising when we need a little bit of support ourselves.
It is difficult to be positive at the moment, but we need to remain positive because midwives and maternity support workers, I think maternity staff are just really resilient anyway. So I feel with that positivity, it does get you a long way considering everything that's going on. Keely, we could chat all day. Have you got any last words of wisdom or advice for any aspiring maternity support workers? Because it's a career now that people are really interested in getting into.
Yeah, I think just if it is something you're interested in, go and speak to people who work in that area, find out what it's all about. Maybe take up a volunteering role on a maternity unit if there are positions available, you know, so you can get some experience of working in that environment before you apply. Just get involved really wherever you can. It is a fantastic career. And right now there are lots of development opportunities being created as well for maternity support workers. There's a real drive for MSW career development. So it's a really exciting time to become part of the maternity team.
Absolutely. Keely, on behalf of everyone at the RCM, thank you for everything that you do for us all and for, of course, MSWs and for your time this morning, because I know you're a busy woman.
You're welcome. Thank you very much, Gemma. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Keely. A big thanks to Keely for sharing her experiences of being an RCM workplace rep. We know the role of our branches in trusts and health boards and at local level is an integral part of what the RCM does and how it supports our members. So we are so grateful and thankful for all that you do. And you can hear, you've heard Keely, you know, describe the influence that they've had at their trust, which is just fantastic. Keely also spoke about her role on the RCM board. And as you'll probably be aware, the RCM board is elected by the RCM's own membership. It has responsibility for the overall direction and provides the long-term vision for the RCM. It also sets annual strategic goals and objectives and ensures that we are all following those to improve everything for our own members. If you'd like to know more about the role of the RCM board and how you potentially could get involved, do log on to our website rcm.org.uk. This is the RCM's podcast. It's on the RCM's work influencing and lobbying. And who better to talk to than Sean O'Sullivan, RCM's Head of Health and Social Policy. How are you, Sean?
I'm good, thanks, Gemma. Very good. And yourself?
I'm really great, thank you. Thanks for taking the time to come on the podcast, and it's your first time, so I've managed to get you in.
Looking forward to it.
Now, let's start off. Obviously, there's a whole, you know, there's so much to talk about when it comes to the RCM as an influencer, but we had a recent win, didn't we, with Hampshire County Council, and this was in relation to planned public health cuts they had proposed.
That's right. What they were proposing was to make a budget cut of about 7 million. And in amongst that was a proposal to cut 47 health visitor and school nursing posts, which, as you can imagine, would have had a really damaging impact on early year services, and particularly for families in areas of deprivation or particular need. And although that doesn't sound like it's affecting midwifery posts, we know it would have had a knock-on effect on midwifery services, and you would have just added pressure onto those services. So the Institute of Health Visitors were kind of leading the charge on opposing this, and we wanted to support them out of solidarity, but also recognising it's in the interest of our members not to see these cuts happen. And so we joined together with other organisations in One Voice, such as the Institute and the NCT, to publicly oppose these cuts.
And I want to ask you about One Voice in a moment, Sean, but realistically, yourself as the Head of Health and Social Policy for the RCM, you responded to a consultation, is that right? Or you wrote a letter with our other partners and the Institute of Health Visiting?
Yes, we wrote a letter with them and the NCT and the Royal College of Obstetricians, just setting out, in our view, why these cuts would be so damaging, and really calling on Hampshire Council to have a rethink. And I'm glad to say that last week they announced that that's exactly what they're doing, and that they're no longer going ahead and cutting these posts.
It's great news. And like you said, it's such a win for our own members, because we know how much pressure maternity services are under locally, you know, in every part of the UK. So really, this would have added more work onto already really busy midwifery days and months ahead. Sean, let's talk about One Voice, because you're very much involved in that. And it's a really key partnership when it comes to influencing for the RCM.
Yes, One Voice has been developed over about 3 years now, and the thinking behind it is to bring together organisations that speak for women and families. So, for example, we have the NCT and SANS as members, together with professional organisations like ourselves and Royal College of Obstetricians. We have the Institute of Health Visitors and the Association of Anaesthetists. And we feel that if you're able to speak with one voice and bring together those people who care for women and families and women and families themselves, you're able to achieve far more influence. And the other thought that we had was that quite often in the past, we've had ministers or the media trying to pit one organisation against the other and drive a wedge between us. So I think it's very important when we can all come together and speak with one voice and show a kind of united front. And to that, I think, as with the case with Hampshire Council, you can achieve so much more.
Absolutely. And I can verify through my own work in the media office at the RCM that we do write joint statements and we respond collectively as one voice to many things. And there is strength in numbers, and it is working, our One Voice network. But Sean, just to move on to a bit more about the day-to-day work that you do in terms of influencing and lobbying on behalf of our members, can you take us through some of the work that you're involved in?
On a day-to-day basis, first of all, we respond to consultations. Hampshire was one of the more important ones, but we get something like over 100 consultations a year where we're invited to respond to those.
Wow.
Then we have quite often in maternity services local proposals for change where you have, for example, a public consultation on reconfiguring maternity services, for example, centralising obstetric services on one site or opening or closing a birth centre. They're clearly important for us to respond to those on behalf of our members. We have a lot of work we do politically. So there are a range of parliamentary committees and all-party parliamentary groups that will ask for evidence on issues to do with maternity services. So we're often putting together evidence for those. We speak to MPs all the time, and we've recently had the Conservative and Labour Party conferences. We attended those, met with MPs, put the case for investing in maternity services. And we speak to the government and to organisations like NHS England and Health Education England all the time about issues around the workforce, investing in maternity services, where maternity policy is heading. So on any given day, we're either writing a response, putting together evidence, or talking to key people.
Wow, and a lot of that work does go on behind the scenes. We do publicise a lot of our consultations and bigger letters to the government.
Yeah.
Is there anything particular, Sean, that you can pick out as a win over all the years that you've been at the RCM?
I think on workforce, I would say that time and again, we've proved influential. So, for example, earlier this year, the government announced it was putting more money into recruiting and retaining midwives. Now, there would have been a number of reasons why they did that, and we certainly couldn't claim credit for all of that. But I think we're influential in, over the years, we've put forward evidence on the extent of staffing shortages in England. So behind the scenes, we've been talking to organisations like NHS England and Health Education England and explaining to them what the evidence is we have for staffing shortages, what the extent of those shortages are. And I think that work has helped certainly to pay off in terms of what the government announced around recruitment. And we've done that over many years. So, you know, going back to when there was a Labour government, we were very influential then in getting the then Secretary of State to commit to investing. You know, at that point, they invested another £300 million in maternity. And that was clearly partly due to the lobbying that we were doing. Lobbying can be very public, like with Hampshire County Council. So it's important that ourselves and other organisations are seen to be very publicly advocating for those jobs in a change of direction. But it can equally be important sometimes to know when to be doing this behind the scenes. You know, so the stuff with Health Education England and NHS England, we know that they were talking to the Treasury about trying to get more investment. And I think had we really gone public on that, it could have jeopardised what were quite sensitive negotiations. So there are times when you want to sort of carry a megaphone and shout from the rooftops, and other times when you want to be much more quietly advocating, but it can be no less effective.
Absolutely. And there are many a times when we're shouting from the rooftops. But like you say, Sean, often there'll be meetings that maybe our CEO or other senior members of the RCM will be having behind the scenes. And if we don't get what we want out of those meetings, particularly if we're meeting the current government and they're not giving us what we want, we will go public. We're not afraid to call out what's happening either.
Oh, absolutely. But I think we're a very fair organisation in that we like to think that we can persuade government and other decision makers to see our point of view and to implement change that way. However, if the government are proving particularly stubborn, then, yeah, we're not afraid then to sort of go public and call them out. I suppose the other thing is that it kind of also depends on how you want to present arguments. So sometimes there's quite an emotional punch that you can deliver. And I think part of the success with Hampshire County Council was just really saying to them, are you really sure you want to be cutting money and getting rid of posts when it's clear that women and families are going to suffer from this? Other times you want to be a lot more objective and evidence-based and really saying, here are the facts. Now form your view on the facts.
Brilliant. Sean, it's so insightful, everything we've just talked about. And I really do hope people listening get a real flavour for the RCM as a political influencer behind the scenes. Thank you very much for taking the time out to come on the podcast, Sean.
Thanks, Gemma. It's been a real pleasure.
That's it for this episode. As ever, thank you for listening. If you liked what you heard or you've liked other episodes, do tell your colleagues about the RCM podcast. Equally, if you'd like to share your own experiences of being an RCM member, a midwife or a maternity support worker, I'd love to chat to you on the 2022 podcast series. Please express your interest by emailing media@rcm.org.uk. That's media@rcm.org.uk. Also, just a quick reminder before I go, we want to ensure you're receiving the most up-to-date news and information from the RCM. We do this by sending you weekly regular email updates, but you won't receive them if we don't have your most up-to-date contact details. So you need to log on to the RCM's website and on your account, change your preferences so you're receiving all the latest news from the RCM. But most importantly, please ensure we have your most current email address and contact number. If you are having difficulties with your RCM account on the website, please call RCM Connect, who can help you access your account on 0300 303 0444. That's 0300 303 0444. In our next episode, we turn our attention to the RCM Annual Midwifery Awards. Yes, that's right. They took place in London on the 27th of October, and we're going to celebrate and shine a light on some of our winners from across the UK. Until then, take care.